Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We're in the book of John today, the Gospel of John chapter 5, and we resume our study in verse 17. So if you have a Bible, open it up to John chapter 5 verse 17. We will begin in just a moment. The Scripture Verse by Verse website is a place where you can study the Bible any time of the day or night, 5 days, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, at your pace, at your convenience, and all you need to bring is your Bible. Study using my audio Bible messages at thescriptureversebyverse.com. Three complete series going through the Bible are there for you to use. That's at thebibleversebyverse.com. Okay. As I said, we're in John chapter 5, verse 17. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, we saw last time, healed a paralyzed man. And he happened to do it on the Sabbath, which did not break the law of God, but upset the religious rulers because it broke their man-made traditions, that you don't do something like that. Nothing on the Sabbath. Nothing like that, anyway. And of course, they're always nitpicking at Jesus, and they saw this as an opportunity to do that. So with that in mind, well, let's begin reading in verse 16. And therefore, did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day? They were going to kill him. They really turned up their hatred for Jesus, which of course was based on their jealousy of his popularity at this time. So they're turning up the heat and the hatred toward Jesus Christ. They want to kill him because he healed a man who had been paralyzed for years. That's what a lot of religion without any relationship with God will give you. It'll turn you into a murderer, a hater. And then it says in verse 17, but Jesus answered them. He knew what they were doing. He knew how much they hated him. He knew that they wanted him dead. Verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. In other words, you guys don't want me to work on the Sabbath? Just understand this. My Father, and he's referring to God, and they know it, is working on the Sabbath, and I'm his son. I do the same thing. What's bugging you? You see, I thought God stopped working after 6 days. Well, it's true that God did not create anything after 6 days. He created everything that has been created in the first 6 days. But he didn't sit around doing absolutely nothing. God was very busy the seventh day, and he has been very busy every day since, not creating something new, but maintaining his creation. And that's what Jesus did for this paralyzed man. He maintained him. He fixed him up. He did some maintenance work. God does that all the time. He's constantly doing that, 7 days a week. And then verse 18, notice the response to Jesus' words. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him. They sought the more to kill him. Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. There are people, every now and then I get a letter, an email, or something from somebody who claims that Jesus isn't God, but just the Son of God. Man, will you read your Bible and you won't say such foolish things? Some people harp on this. Oh, Jesus never claimed to be God. He claimed to be the Son of God. Well, exactly. But in doing that, he was claiming to be God. That's what the Jews understood. They understood what some heretics today do not understand, and that said Jesus claimed to be equal with the Father. Now, you and I, if you're a Christian, are sons of God through Christ. We are the adopted sons of God and daughters through Jesus Christ. Because by God's grace, we are adopted into his family. But Jesus is the Son of God by nature, the eternal Son of the eternal Father by nature. Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son in the same manner. So Jesus and God the Father are one. Therefore, they were in constant and perfect communication and in sync with each other. They always moved in perfect harmony. Christ healed that man on the Sabbath because it was the Father's will. Jesus never went rogue on the Father. He only did what the Father did, or what the Father wanted him to do. Christ healed that man on the Sabbath because it was God the Father's will. If the religious rulers don't like it, then they're not in God's will. They're not in God's will. If they don't like it, that's a problem between them and God. They're opposing God. They're opposing the work of God and the will of God. Anytime you oppose the work of God and the will of God, you're in trouble with God. You're out of sync with God. Following the written word of God will keep you in sync with the word of God. Verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Jesus the Son did everything the Father did. Everything, and only everything. He did not do more than the Father did. He did not do less than the Father did, which means that the things Jesus did testified to the fact that he is God. Jesus did God things, like healing paralyzed men, like here. Jesus did God things, like forgiving sins. He did God things like warning of hell, warning of judgment, denouncing hypocrisy. He did God things like showing compassion. He was always in sync with God. Verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and giveth them life, even so the Son giveth life to whom he will. Well, if they were angry at him before, they've got to be furious. Smoke must be coming out of their nose after he said that. You don't think that Jesus claimed to be God? The only one who can give life to something that is lifeless is Almighty God. Deuteronomy 32:39 says this, Learn then that I alone am God, and there is no God besides me. It is I who bring both life and death. Jesus is actually going to raise three people from the dead during his three-year ministry, proving beyond all doubt that he is God. Well, actually four, if you count him. That's a good trick, isn't it? Who but God could pull that off? You die, you stay dead physically for 3 days, and then you raise yourself back to life? Verse 22, For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That's another thing. Oh, he's hitting this thing with both barrels, isn't he? No one but God can give life to something that's lifeless, and no one but God can judge with perfect fairness and justice. And that's because only God knows our motives as well as our actions. No one but God can give a person the right to enter into heaven. No one but God can banish a person to hell, because no one but God can judge a person without error. So Jesus was saying, I'm God. When Jesus said, I'm the judge, When he says the Father gave me that job as being the judge, he's saying I'm God. You can't possibly miss that unless you want to miss it. Verse 22 and 23, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That's your job, son. Well, good luck pulling that off if you're not God. That's his point. He's arguing for his deity because they challenged it. Verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Oh boy. That's a slam dunk, isn't it? And the last part, he says, he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father who hath sent him. Jesus was either a nut or he was God. Because nobody who isn't God doesn't claim to be God unless they're crazy, unless they belong in an insane asylum. Jesus claimed to be God. And he wasn't a nut because he backed it up by curing paralytics and raising people from the dead and doing God things. He wasn't just full of empty words. You know, if someone is not accepting the lordship of Christ, then they are not accepting the lordship of God either. And he's trying to get this through to these religious rulers and to people today too. By extension, you better receive Jesus Christ and you better obey him, absolutely, because he's God. You accept his lordship, you're not accepting God's lordship. Because they come as a set pair. If you do not accept Jesus, you cannot have the Father. It's that simple. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Eternal life does not start after you die. Did you notice that? You have it now if you have repented and received Christ. You got it right now. You've passed from death to life. The second that you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior and meant it, you're not going to be condemned. You will not experience eternal punishment in hell. You've already passed from death to life. It's done. If Christ is your Lord, if you have asked him to forgive your sins and to save you from hell, then the change has been made. Verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Boy, is he hitting this thing hard, isn't he? One thing after another. The big resurrection is still in the future. And that's what Jesus is talking about right here when he says the hour is coming. The hour of that big resurrection when the dead will hear the voice not of God the Father, but of God the Son. And those who hear his voice will live. But Jesus also says, the hour is now here. It's coming and it's here. That's talking about the three people that he raised during his earthly ministry. He raised the widow of Nain's son. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. That's what he's talking about. The hour is coming. There's going to be a big one coming. But it now is, too, just to show you that I'm God, just to show you that I'm equal with the Father, just to show you that I'm the one who's going to be raising everybody from the dead on Judgment Day, just to show you that, I'm going to do three preliminary ones. Verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. If you own something, you have the power to give it to someone else. Jesus owns life. And as the eternal judge, the eternal God who owns life, he gives it to those who are his. Verse 28. Marvel not at this. He probably looked in their face and they were marveling. The religious rulers, hearing him say these things, were probably furious. Their faces were probably red. And probably a lot of the common people were out there just with their jaws hanging down, wide open, listening to this. And Jesus could see at least some of them were marveling. So he says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So, by the time we get to the point when this world, as we know it, is over, everyone who has ever lived and died will be raised from the dead. Those who were saved because they repented of their sins and received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Those who were saved and therefore showed it by their good works. Not saved because of their good works, but saved and showed it by their good works, will enter a wonderful quality of life. Those who did evil will live also. They will be raised also. However, they will wish that they could die and just go out of existence, because they're going to be living in the lake of fire, burning and tormented in hell with no change, no parole, forever. Verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who hath sent me. Jesus, the eternal judge, is objective and impartial. He will judge by the facts, and that is it. He has no pets. He has no favorites. Jesus will be fair and square on Judgment Day. And the big thing he will look at is whether one has repented of their sins and asked him to come into their life, to be their Lord and Savior, to save them from hell, to wash away their sins, and be the Lord of their life. That's the big thing. That's the turning point, whether you've done that or not. 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Jesus is referring to Deuteronomy 19 and the command that every fact must be confirmed by two or three witnesses to be legal. You know, anyone can talk big. But Jesus has big witnesses who back up his claims. So, verse 32 says, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. John the Baptist. John the Baptist was pretty popular for a while. Some who Jesus talked to here had followed John the Baptist for a while. They were his disciples, or at least his followers to a certain degree. He had a lot of people go out to him, especially when it was popular. It was kind of the thing to do. But evidently, many of those people who were excited about John and his preaching and his baptism of repentance backed off after he was arrested and had his head chopped off. Verse 36. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. The miracles that Jesus Christ did pointed to the fact that he was God and is God. They are a witness. They are witnesses to his deity. Jesus did not just pray for people's healings. He did not pray for people to be healed of paralysis, or pray that they would be healed of their high fever, or pray that they would be raised from the dead. He walked into cities and he healed every single person who came to him, sometimes with a touch, sometimes with just a word. 37. And the Father himself, who hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. At least three times that we see in Scripture, at least three times, God the Father spoke from heaven in an audible voice and told the world that Jesus is his Son. 38. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. If these people would have had proper respect, proper regard for the Holy Scriptures, or the Father's voice from heaven, as it were, or the word of God spoken through John the Baptist, then they would have gladly embraced Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Their problem was they had no respect for the word of God. They loved their sin more than God's word. And that's always going to douse the effectiveness of God's word. If someone loves and respects the Holy Scriptures supremely, they will love and respect the word of God. They will love and respect the Lord Jesus Christ too. Verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. They read the Scriptures. These religious rulers, they read the Scriptures. But they read the Scriptures for the wrong reason. They thought that by reading the Word of God, they would somehow earn eternal life. They failed to see how the Bible pointed people to Christ. If they would have understood that, then they would have welcomed Jesus and received the eternal life that they hoped for and that they were trying to work for. Verse 41. I receive not honor from men. Jesus was not interested in being a celebrity. Having honor did not press him. Not having it did not throw him into depression. He did not care. Either way, he didn't care. It was irrelevant to him. He was just here to do what is pleasing to God. You know, that's the way that every single preacher should be. You should not, if you're a preacher, a Bible teacher, you should not be concerned about getting honor for yourself. And you should not be depressed when you don't get it. What difference does it make? That's not why you're here. I always look at John the Baptist as my human example, other than Jesus, of course. John didn't care what anybody thought of him. He couldn't care less if people liked him or disliked him. He just was here, and he knew why he was here, to proclaim the word of God. He knew it. He knew it. And that's why he did it without watering it down, because he wasn't looking for honor. He wasn't depressed when he didn't get it, and he wasn't impressed when he did get it. If your preacher or your pastor or your Bible teacher isn't that way, you ought to confront him. You ought to ask him why he's concerned with getting honor, or depressed that he's not given enough honor, or something like that. I remember a pastor one time told me, oh, this is a long, long time ago, probably about, 30 years ago. He was a few years older than me. He'd been a pastor for a few years. I shared this once before, I think, or maybe twice. Oh, he was so upset. He was not being honored like he should. He was not getting the kind of money that he thought he should get since he had been out of Bible college for whatever, 4 years. He expected to get more money than that by now. And I sat there, you know, listening to him, and I thought, I'm teaching the Word of God on radio, verse by verse. And I was. That's when I started. And I have to work, secular job. I'm just here to do what God wants me to do, teach the Word of God as clearly as I can. Let the chips fall where they may, as it were. That's still my attitude. And I don't think a preacher can afford to have any other kind of attitude, or you're gonna water down the Word of God to get that honor that you crave so much. You better be right with God, and you better be on fire for Jesus, and Jesus better be the far and away number one most important thing to you. If you're a preacher, or you are setting yourself up for failure, and you'd be better off getting out of the pulpit. You'd be better off just quitting, because you're bound to say something to draw attention to yourself, or to make people like you, or be impressed with you, or give you more money. Oh yeah, any preacher can do that kind of stuff. But you're a fool if you do, because you are making merchandise of God's word. And you sure are not acting like Jesus, I guarantee you that. Verse 42 says, "But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." The Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity with God. The carnal mind is an enemy of God. The Bible says that the unsaved person is an enemy in their mind toward God. Men are by nature haters of God. And they stay that way until God's grace changes them when they are regenerated in Christ. You say, I don't believe that I'm an enemy of God. I've never received Christ and I'm an enemy of God. The fact that you have not repented and received Christ means that you are disobeying God. You're his enemy. You're doing that which is offensive to him. And every time you commit a sin, you're acting like God's enemies. That's the way he sees it. And very definitely the people Jesus is talking to are still God haters because they're rejecting Jesus Christ. Let's stop right there for today. We'll pick it up in verse 43 next time. Just a reminder to you that you can continue studying the Word of God at your pace, at your convenience, using my audio Bible messages at the Scripture Verse by Verse website, which is found at thebibleversebyverse.com. Bring your Bible. That's all you need. The rest is there. Just click and listen. I suggest that you begin in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I suggest that you begin there. I suggest that you study through all 66 books of the Bible and finish in the book of Revelation. That's quite a feat. That's an accomplishment. That's a great spiritual exercise, and you'll never be the same. God will change you from the inside out. Your faith will grow. Your love for Jesus will grow. Your holiness will grow. It'll be a wonderful experience because we need the whole counsel of God. But if you want to do it some other way, that's up to you. Study any book of the Bible, any chapter of the Bible by clicking and listening. Just open your Bible and follow along and listen as I teach it verse by verse. One more time, that's found at thebibleversebyverse.com. And please remember that we are brought to you by your prayers and financial support, that I've never been underwritten by a large church or denomination. I depend on you, people who love God's word, always have for over 30 years, to pray for this ministry and to support it financially. So if while you are studying the Word of God, you decide to take a break, would you please prayerfully click the donate button at the top of the front page, and again, prayerfully give as the Lord may lead. Stand with me and help me to get out the Word of God. We'll do it together. And that's something that pleases Jesus. Until next time, so long, everyone.